Blog Talk Radio.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. For the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are fighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, waken my kindness. Chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demanded. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer the Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Indeed, 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 he does. Jesus saves. He rescues the perishing. Well, welcome to another membership class. I am Pastor Torres. In this series that we are doing right now, we're talking about service opportunities. We've already talked about two service opportunities at Grace Church. One is the prayer ministry. The other is the visitation ministry. This service opportunity is the soul winning ministry. The soul winning ministry. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we're going to start reading at verse number 25. For many of you who have been in the Lord for some time, this is a familiar passage. And Silas are at Philippi. They are two members of Paul's missionary team. Silas, or rather Luke and Timothy, being the other two members. There were four members to the team. Paul, Silas, Timothy and Luke. Paul and Silas were arrested and beaten. So let's pick it up at Acts 16, verse 25. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands became loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword, for he would have killed himself, supposing that all the prisoners have. Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The keeper of the prison was an unsaved man. And he says to these two apostles, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and also thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all those that were in his house. And he, the jailer, took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And he was baptized, and all his straightway. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious, glorious name. We thank you, Lord, because your mercy and your goodness endures forever. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst, for how you plan to build up your church in membership. Not because we are on a program to build a mega church, but because we are desirous of fulfilling your command, which is to preach the gospel to every creature in order that they might be saved. Use us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Oh, God, use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're talking about service opportunities. Many of you who come to Grace Church, you just want to know, as visitors that you are now, as people figuring out if Grace Church is for you or not, right now you can call this kind of like church dating. You're dating Grace Church to see if Grace Church is the church you want to settle upon, if this is the church you want for you and your family. So we've already talked about the prayer ministry. The prayer ministry affords you, the future member of Grace Church, the greatest opportunity to serve Christ and mankind. No greater thing, no greater work can a believer in Christ fulfill than that of an intercessor. The greatest ministry of all is that of a man, of a woman who stands in the gap, prays for the salvation of mankind. Prayer ministry is at the top of the list. I am part of that ministry. I serve as leader in the prayer ministry. Because if the pastor doesn't pray, the church should get rid of the pastor. That's it. If anyone is going to lead in prayer, it's going to be me. This is why I'm at the church. Me. I'm at the church. During the golden hour of prayer, I'm there from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. No one else has to be there. The church doors are open, and everyone's welcome to come. There is one person who needs to be there all the time. One person who opens the doors, one person who closes the doors. That is yours truly. Why? Because I can't say out of one side of my mouth that the prayer ministry of Grace Church is the most important ministry and then skip the prayer meeting. That would be hypocrisy. That would be to be double-minded. to think one thing today, and then when it actually comes to doing the thing, I've changed my mind. No. As pastor of Grace Church, even though we have a prayer leader in Sister Linda Hart, I lead by example. I lead by example. Prayer, if we're going to make it, if we're going to make it, prayer must be first and foremost. This is why our Tuesday night prayer meeting, every time I stand in the pulpit right before I preach and I make my pastoral announcements, I remind you each and every week of the most important service of the week, and that is the prayer meeting. Followed by the golden hour of prayer each and every day. And I remind you that you're all members of the priesthood of all believers, and that as the members of the priesthood of all believers, the number one thing a priest does is pray, intercede, stand in the gap for others. So that's one area of ministry that I highly encourage you to get involved with if you're thinking about becoming a member of Grace Church. The second is the visitation ministry. We are currently praying. We have been for a year and a half now. We have been praying for a visitation of God. Now think about this. Let's settle upon this for a moment. Why have we not stopped praying for a visitation of God? Why have we been praying without ceasing for a visitation of God? Because a visitation from God is most necessary. It's most vital. If God doesn't visit his people, it's all over. Visitation, the visitation ministry of God is landmark. You read the Bible. You read from Genesis to Revelation. You read from cover to cover. And any time there was a critical turning point in the church, anytime the church achieved something that would go down in history as a turning point, something that was landmark, it required a visitation of God. It required divine intervention. It required for God to show up and show off. That's what it required. That said, God requires of pastors, especially of pastors, a pastor who doesn't visit people needs to be shown the door. Now think on that for a moment. The pastor must first lead in prayer, and he must lead in visitation. The churches that are dying on the vine have pastors who don't pray, pastors who don't visit. Because God set it up where if the church was going to experience success, she must pray. And if the church was going to have landmark moments, the church must have a visitation of God. And this is why for a year and a half, we've been praying for such a visitation. Now, on a much lower scale, people who are hurting, people who are in trouble, people who are down and out should be visited by the pastor first and foremost, by the deacons and the leaders of the church secondarily, and by the church members. So there is a visitation ministry. There is a visitation ministry. We're just not going to leave visitation up to God. Oh, well, God's got it covered, and if he's got it covered, we don't have to do it. No. God expects pastors to lead the charge when it comes to visitation. And for the leaders after the pastor to follow him in visiting the people. So you have prayer and you have visitation ministry. Today I want to talk to you about soul winning. Because, precious brothers and sisters, that's why the church exists. The church is not a social club. It's not. The church that is a social club will die. The church is a soul-saving mission. That's what it is. Our job, our task, and every agency out there, whether it's a federal agency or a state agency, each agency on whatever level has an assignment. The church, which is not connected to the state, derives her assignments from God. We are the only agency on the earth assigned to the saving of souls. We're the only agency. If the church is not given to soul winning, the world is lost. We have been given that soul saving ministry. The word ministry is service. We have been given that soul winning service. We're in the service industry, if you want to use that language. We're in the service industry. Well, how do we serve mankind? Well, we serve mankind by praying. We serve mankind by visiting, and we serve mankind by preaching the gospel. We're the only institution divinely established that has the commission to go and save souls for Jesus Christ. We have been duly deputized. And this is why the Philippian jailer, he didn't turn to Rome and said, well, Rome, what do you think I should do to be saved? No, he turned to Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And not only you, but every member of your family. Believe. Put your trust, put your confidence in Jesus Christ. So let's look at our introduction here. Introduction. Lost people. Poor sinners everywhere. This is a sin-sick, morally bankrupt, broken-hearted, Satan-controlled world in which we live. There is no city, town, village, or rural community anywhere in which lost souls may not be found. They are spiritually lost because they have departed from the Lord. They are spiritually lost in this world and will be lost through eternity unless someone wins them to Christ. Christ, the head of the church, has given her a great commission. Think about that. Think about that. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, we have inherited, we have been bequeathed. That's our inheritance. It's been handed down from one apostolic generation to the next. We have been given this great inheritance, this bequeathing. What is it? Well, it's a commission. It's called the Great Commission because it serves a great God and a great Savior. The church's great commission is to win sinners to Christ and to turn them into lifelong disciples of the Lord who has redeemed them with his blood. It's not just bringing them to Christ, it's turning them into soldiers. Now, let's go to Matthew 28. Soul winning isn't just bringing people to Jesus. Soul winning is bringing people to Jesus and then turning them into soul winners themselves. That's soul winning. If you just bring people to Jesus and that's it, and you don't multiply yourself and turn them into soul winners, you've only done half the job. So, Matthew 28. And we're looking at verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto his disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach. Notice. When you teach, you're making disciples. Go ye therefore and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. So it's winning the nations to Christ, and then taking those persons one to Christ, teaching them, discipling them, molding them, mentoring them to observe all things whatsoever he's commanded. And what has he commanded us to do? To win souls. So it's not enough. Winning, soul winning is not just winning the person to Christ, but it's also turning him into, turning her into a soul winner themselves. Now, let's go to Luke 24. Luke 24. And in Luke 24, verses 44 through 48, let's read. It says, "And he," referring to Jesus, "said unto them," referring to the disciples, "these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead on the third day." Now look at verse 37. And this is where the soul-winning part comes in. "And that repentance," see, soul-winning. Soul winning is to call men to what? Repentance. "So that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, starting at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things." So, preaching the gospel, preaching Christ, bringing men and women to a saving knowledge of the Lord. Now, in the introduction, I want to show you that triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God is the ultimate eternal evangelist. That if you read Matthew 28, which we just read a few moments ago, if you read Acts 10, 34, in fact, let's go to Acts 10. Let me just show you how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all involved in Acts 10. Let's just go there quickly. Acts 10. Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Peter is paying Cornelius a visit. Cornelius is a Roman centurion. Peter is a Jewish apostle. And Peter opens his mouth and says, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all, that word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism of John, which John preached." Now look at verse 38. "How God," there you have God the Father, "how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth," that's God the Son, "with the Holy Ghost and with power." You have the Trinity right there. "How God the Father anointed God the Son with the Holy Ghost and with power. This same Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God the Father was with him." He was. "And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. God raised them up on the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, of course, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even unto us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us, this is the Great Commission now, we're in verse 42. In verse 42, you're going to see the Great Commission. And he commanded us to preach the gospel and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him, to Jesus, give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Verse 48, and Peter commanded them all to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed him that he would tarry with them certain days. So notice, there you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit working for what? Working to what end? To save sinners. And now Peter and the others are commissioned to go preach this word throughout the world. So the triune God is the eternal evangelist. From eternity past to eternity future, God is what? God is winning souls. He's restoring souls. He is God the Father has sent his ambassadors, his preachers, because to them he has given them the ministry of reconciliation, of reconciling sinners to God, of having those sinners come to Christ and be turned into saints. But then also this ministry of soul winning has been given to the pastor. That's right. Now, let's go to Ephesians 4:11. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. And here we have the, what's called in Greek, the domata gifts. Domata, you have the charisma gifts, the charismata gifts, which is the gifts of power and inspiration. And here you have the domata gifts. Domata is offices, office gifts. So here it says in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some to the office of apostles, others to the office of prophets, others to the office of evangelists, others to the office of pastors, others to the office or the function of teachers. So you have fivefold ministry, fivefold office gifts. The office of apostle, the office of prophet, the office of evangelist, the office of pastor, the office of teacher. Now, interesting enough, go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. And this is what Paul says to a young pastor. 2 Timothy 4. He says this. It says in verse number 5, he says, but you, Timothy, watch in all things. Always be on the watch. He's got to be a watchman. He's got to watch his flock. He's got to have his eyes peeled. A pastor who's asleep on the job isn't worth it. Show him the door. A pastor who doesn't pray, a pastor who doesn't visit, a pastor who doesn't watch, they're useless. He says to Timothy, but you, son, you as pastor, you watch in all things. Make sure you have your eyes peeled on every aspect of the church. You watch in all things. Endure afflictions. The arrows are coming. The battles are coming. The attacks are coming. You watch and you endure the attacks and do the work of an evangelist. You, Timothy, you've got to split your time between being a shepherd and being a soul winner. And you may say, well, isn't there the office of an evangelist? That's true. There is a distinct office of an evangelist. There are certain men, certain women called of God whose gifting is that of winning souls. But a pastor, by necessity, Take, for example, me. Grace Church currently on an average, we have 50 people a week. 50 people, average. Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. So if you average it all out, 50 people a week. Well, that's an empty church. And you say, well, Pastor, it's not empty. It's got 50 people. No, it's an empty church. Because along with the pastorate, God put into my hands a building that holds 250. Grace Church has 24 pews, technically 25. So if you fit 10 people on a pew and you can do that comfortably, that's 250 people. So we're only one-fifth filled. Well, God didn't bequeath to us, listen to me, God didn't bequeath to us such a great building so that it could be empty. No. We were given such a building that it might be filled to capacity. That's why we're not satisfied. That's why when we look and we see 50 and we're happy for the 50, we say, where's the other 200? So what am I going to do? Am I going to wait for some revivalist to show up in town and bring a revival, or some evangelist to show up and fill the church? No. Paul says to Timothy, you do it. You do overtime. See, you double up as an evangelist. You specialize in soul winning. Well, I'm a pastor. No, that's not good enough. In your case, Michael, you have 50. The building holds 250. Go get the other 200. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of a shepherd. In other words, you're going to have to wear two hats. And you're going to have to devote every precious minute to doing both. The job. That's the task. Go do it. Now, I want to read this to you again, because this is a forceful admonition. He says, but you watch in all things. Why? Listen, if you don't watch, the enemy will pick off your sheep one by one. You got to be vigilant. You got to watch. And then you got to endure afflictions. It doesn't say endure affliction, singular. Endure afflictions. Listen, anyone who wants to protect sheep, you're gonna have to tangle with some unsavory people. You're just going to have to do it. And with those kinds of entanglements come what? Scars. You're going to have to endure afflictions, plural. They're going to come in waves. And then he says, in addition to shepherding, in addition to battling, you got to find time to do what? You got to find time to go and win souls. You got to find time. You got to find ways, means to fill up the house of God. And then, only then, will you be making full proof of your ministry. To leave any of those out would be negligent in your ministry. There's no time to fool around. There's no time to play cute. There's no time to go from one golf outing to another. There's no time for the silliness that we have today in ministry. There's no time for that. Time's running out. So God has blessed us with a building. It's 250. And when I stand up there on Sunday, and I am so happy with the many souls that we already have, but there's 200 missing. That's just from the first service. From the second service, I have all 250 missing. In the third service, I have all 250 missing. And for the fourth service, I have all 250 missing. So think about that. In one day, I can do four services. If each service is packed out, that's 1,000 souls. I only have 50. Where's the other 950? See, that's what Paul would say to Timothy. Timothy, where are the other 950? Go do the work of an evangelist. I can't wait for a Finney to show up. Can't wait. Nor would God have me to wait. He expects me to do it. And then church members are to be lay evangelists. Just read Acts 8:4, Romans 10:18, and 1 Thessalonians 1:8. All of these people who were laymen, just church members, they went everywhere preaching the word of God. That's what they did. They went about preaching the word of the Lord. So that's our introduction. God would have us to win souls. The church is not a social club. The church is not a place where we just gather with people, you know, that we like or people who are similar to us. And that's true. I want to gather with people who are similar in thinking to me, similar in belief. I want to fellowship with people that I like. But the church is more than that. The church is a soul-saving mission. It's a mission house. Our goal is to bring them in. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus wants to save them. So now, let's go to Roman numeral number one, because this is all going to sound familiar. Evangelism begins with what? Prayer. You see how these things overlap? We started out with the first place you can serve is the prayer ministry. The second place you can serve is the visitation ministry. Well, the third place you can serve is the soul winning ministry. Well, how do you begin to win souls? You begin to win souls by praying. Let's read. The soul-winning early church. At Pentecost, there were three preeminent features in the activities of the Lord's people, namely, one, prayer by the 120. Read Acts 1. There was 120 people praying for what? For souls. Two, personal witnessing by the rank and file of the church, and the Holy Spirit inspired each believer to share. So notice, personal witnessing by the rank and file of the church, as the Holy Spirit inspired each believer to share. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, what happened? Each one of the 120 shared as the Holy Spirit gave them what to say. And number three, soul winning preaching by Simon Peter. Please note the order in which these features came. How did these features come? Well, the successful soul winner today, we the present church, must begin the same way the early church began, right? Listen, if we want to become successful soul winners today, if that's what we want to be, if we want to fill out the church, we must begin where the early church began. Where did the early church begin? They began in prayer. They began in prayer, and in one day, one sermon, one afternoon, God gave them 3,000 souls. We must follow the pattern, the template of the early church. The early church first prayed. Then they shared the gospel. And in so doing, God added to the church. That's the order. They didn't go first and evangelized and then prayed that God would touch and then waited to see if God would do it. No, they prayed first. They prayed and God answered and God sent them forth and they won 3,000 souls. So, evangelism starts with prayer. Prayer. Now, number two, Grace Church has created an evangelistic prayer list. We've created, and what is that prayer list? Well, we are praying for every family on every street in the village of St. Johnsville to be brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have a schedule. We have 43 streets listed. 43 streets listed in 6 days. That comes out to 6 streets per day. There's one day that has 7 streets because there's 43. 7 days a week. And on that schedule, on Monday, you're to pray for these streets. And not just to pray for the streets, we're really praying for the families that live on those streets, that God would pay that street a visit. That's what we're praying for. That's why we're crying out to God. So we've created an evangelistic prayer list. Listen, how many people live on Timmerman Avenue? I don't know. God knows how many people, but we're praying that God would save them. How about Rockefeller Drive? How many people live on Rockefeller Drive? That's a short little street there. How many people? Well, can God save them? Well, that's why we're praying. How about South Division Street? How about all of South Division? How about all of North Division? How many families live? I mean, that's one big long street. When you add South Division to North Division, that's one long trek. How many families? How many houses are there? How many people? How many couples? How many families? How many young people? How many children live on those streets? We're praying for God to visit those families. We're praying evangelistically. We're praying that every family be brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we don't tell you to pray. We're not asking you to pray for all 43 streets in one day. No, we have broken it down to 7 days, and here are the 6 streets per day that you can pray for. Because evangelism begins with prayer. That's where it begins. Listen, let's think for a moment. Let's just talk. There are churches that don't even pray. There are churches that don't even witness. What do you think happens to those churches with the passing of time? What do you think happens? They die. Prayer and evangelism are the lifeblood of the church. They are what keeps the church growing, expanding, multiplying. So, again, evangelism, number one, starts with prayer. Number two, we've created an evangelistic prayer list. We want you to pray for every street, every family that lives on that street, that they may come to Christ. Now think about it. All 50 of us doing it, what an amazing thing that would be. Now, we don't have 120 like they had in the upper room, but God will take what we give them. God will take what we give them. So turn to page 3 in your outline. Grace Christian Church is encouraging every member to adopt a pew and pray that God would fill all 24 pews with newly redeemed souls. Now look at that picture. There you have pew 35 and 36. We only have 24. Our church is much smaller than the church in the sketch because we only have 24 pews. But look at all those people. Those people, they're not looking up at the preacher. Every one of those individuals has his head bowed. One guy has his hands on his face, bowing in prayer. And the place is packed, except for the pew where the young man is, pew number 36. There's just one person there. We are praying, my brothers and sisters. We have a capacity on the first service of 250 people. We have 50. Let's pray. Adopt a pew. Go to Sister Linda Hart and says, listen, I don't have a pew to pray for. Give me one. She'll give you one. And then begin to pray that God will fill it with newly redeemed souls, with people that we will win to Christ right from the very streets we are praying for. That's evangelism. Number four, Grace Christian Church is encouraging every member to pray for Holy Ghost boldness to preach effectively and fearlessly the good news of Jesus Christ. When afraid to appeal to the lost man in the name of the Savior, the soul-winning member should ask the Holy Spirit for boldness or divine daring. You read those passages. Those evangelists, those soul winners in Acts 4, in Acts 9, in Acts 13, in Acts 14, they all requested from God Holy Ghost boldness to preach fearlessly, to preach with divine daring. Pray. You want to go to door to door, but you're scared. You're frightened to even think that when you knock on a door, somebody will open. What would I say to this person? How would I start the conversation? How would I begin to share about Jesus Christ? Terrified of soul winning. Others are petrified. They become, listen, the moment they knock on the door, they're already shaken. The person opens the door and they can't even speak. They're petrified. They've turned into stone. Ask the Holy Spirit for boldness. So notice, evangelism begins with prayer. Jesus said to his disciples, don't start witnessing, don't start preaching, don't start sharing, wait. Wait and pray. Wait and pray that you be endued with power from on high. So what did the disciples do? They said, okay, evangelism begins with prayer. We're going to go pray. And then you got to have a strategy. You got to have a prayer list. Well, Jesus said you start in Jerusalem. Then you go to Judea. Then you go to Samaria. Then you go to the othermost parts of the earth. So what's our Jerusalem? Our Jerusalem is St. Johnsville. That's why we have a map. We have not affected St. Johnsville in any way yet. Our church is missing 200 souls. Somebody's ordained. There's got to be 200 people ordained to sit in those seats in the first service. And there's got to be another 250 ordained for the second service, and another 250 ordained for the third, and another 250 ordained for the fourth. God, listen, God doesn't give you real estate haphazardly. When God gives you something to do and he gives you the measurements from which to work with, get busy. So we've created a prayer list. I was told that there's 4,000 people. There's 4,000 people in St. Johnsville. 4,000. So God can't give us 1,000 of those 4,000? You mean to tell me God can't do that? Sure he can. But it comes by means of prayer. Again, number three, without being redundant, adopt a pew. Say, God, I have pew number 19. Pew number 19 doesn't have one single soul in it. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would fill it. Fill it with 10 people. Fill it with 10 souls. You can't pray that every day. Number four. Oh, Pastor, I'm so afraid. I don't think I can share anything about Jesus. I'm so timid. Well, good. You're in good company. Pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will make you fearless. Fearless for Christ. He'll do it. He'll give you divine daring, the Holy Spirit. Number five, Grace Christian Church is encouraging every member to pray for the pastor's success. Pray for my success. Pray for my success as what? As a village evangelist. We just read the text. 2 Timothy 4:5. Do the work of an evangelist. Pray. When you take up, listen to me, saints. You're a soul winner. You happen to be a lay soul winner. You're a layman. I'm not a layman. This is my profession. I've been doing this for 40 years. Pray that God would give me success in St. Johnsville as an evangelist. Pray. Because that's my job. I'm not just pastor. I'm pastor / evangelist. I have to wear both hats. On a Sunday morning, listen to me, saints. On a Sunday morning, I could have a scheduled sermon. I could have a sermon that I'm ready to preach. It's already in the bulletin. It's been announced. The scripture's there. The title of the sermon is in the bulletin, and the scripture's in the bulletin. And the Holy Spirit may prompt me to go another way that morning. The Holy Spirit may say to me, Michael, there's 13, 14 new faces here. Preach an evangelistic message. So I may have to put aside. I may have to take the pastoral message, the pastoral sermon title, the pastoral text that's already in the bulletin. I may just have to set that aside and go another way because there's an evangelistic opportunity to win those 14, 15, 16 visitors to Christ. Pray. Pray for my success as a village evangelist. I'm a village evangelist to St. Johnsville. That's what I am. And in Ephesians 6 and in Colossians 4 and in 1 Thessalonians 5 and in 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul is shown to be in the habit of requesting that Christians pray that God would grant him evangelistic boldness and success, which translates into what? The winning of many souls to Christ. That's what it translates into. So notice how evangelism, the foundation of evangelism is just prayer. It's just, everything goes back to praying. And this is why, again, we emphasize prayer so much. Number six, Grace Church is encouraging every member to pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance in their soul-winning efforts. You know, when you get up in the morning and you pray for the streets and you're praying for your pew and you pray for me, Lord, bless Pastor. But Pastor's going to bump into people today on the street and the village. Lord, if there's an opportunity for him to win a soul, give him success. Let him win somebody to Christ today. But also, you should pray that the Holy Spirit should guide you, and he does. When you read these scriptures, take for example Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 16. You have examples of Philip being guided by the Holy Spirit to win a soul. Peter and Paul are also guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, yes, go there. There's a certain man there. Witness to him. The Holy Spirit guides. He guides you to people that are ripe for the harvest. Pray for that. Because when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit, God, is the eternal evangelist. Remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are the eternal evangelist. They want us to succeed in soul winning. So ask for the Holy Spirit to give you a lead. Ask for the Holy Spirit every morning. Say, Holy Spirit, give me a tip. Show me who's ready to receive Christ. Lord, show me who you've been working on that's just ready to receive the Lord Jesus into their hearts. Guide me. Cause me to bump into somebody today who needs to be saved in this hour. That's number six. Number seven, Grace Church is encouraging every member to make up their own prayer list. Listen, make up a prayer list. We're giving you a list. We're giving you streets to pray for. We're giving you a list of streets and families to pray for. We're giving you suggestions. We're telling you to pray for the pastor, pray for the pastor's success. Just pray for this, pray for that. But you too need to prepare your own prayer list. On that prayer list, write down the name of family members who don't know Jesus, friends who don't know Jesus, neighbors who don't know Jesus, co-workers who don't know Jesus. The value of a personal prayer list cannot be overestimated. It will serve as a constant reminder of our family members, friends, neighbors, and co-workers who are one moment away from stepping into eternity without Christ and without the hope of salvation. A personal prayer list will help the soul winner be more consistent in interceding for those nearest and dearest to the person who is crying out to God for their eternal rescuing. At the back of the church, or as you come in, to the front door, there's three tables there. On one of those tables, we have a personal prayer list brochure. My wife has prepared a brochure that will allow you to list the names of the people that you want to pray for. And you stick that in your Bible, and every day when you open up your Bible, there's your personal prayer list, and you begin to start praying for your coworkers. Start praying for your neighbors. Stop praying for your high school friends. I have high school friends that to this day don't care about Jesus. I still pray for them. How about family members? You know they desperately need Jesus. And they're in your family. And you love them. You don't want to see them to go into eternity without salvation. Pray for them. And then number eight, pray, ask the Lord to give you an evangelistic partner. Ask the Lord to give you a buddy in church, a person that you can team up with to pray for souls and to go out and do evangelistic work together. The Lord Jesus sent them out two by two. That's what he did. You shouldn't do this alone. You should go with someone. There's so much encouragement that comes from having a partner in ministry. When Jesus first sent out the 12, he sent them out two by two. When he sent out the 70, it was two by two. You pray for the souls. You listen, together, before you go to any street in St. Johnsville and you start knocking on doors, you sit for an hour, you sit for a little while, you pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill us with boldness. Oh, Holy Spirit, guide us to the right house. Give me the right words, Holy Spirit. And then, listen, when you go knocking on doors, one starts talking, And while one is talking, the other one is quietly praying that God would open that person's heart who's being talked to. You see, the Lord has given us the Great Commission. The Great Commission is what? Soul winning. Winning men and women to Christ and then turning them into what? Future soul winners. That's the Great Commission. And all of this is done first and foremost when you lay the foundation of it all, and all of it is prayer. I hope this lesson was a blessing to you. I'll be back with part two as we continue talking about service opportunities at Grace Church. We've already talked about the prayer ministry. We've already talked about the visitation ministry. And now I hope and pray that you will catch the vision for evangelistic soul-winning ministry. God bless you, saints.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadow,
hearing neither clouds nor wind is chilling breeze.
That's fine thing.
By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Everybody join us.
Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth and weeping, sowing for the Master, though the loss has stained our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.